The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We continue in our lesson on liturgy and education. We're trying to gain a grasp of the inseparable connection between worship and faith, a sense of the relationship between liturgical experience and education, and an introduction to the educational concept of liturgical catechesis. This is the term that Father Alexander Schmemann uses in his book, Liturgy and Life. And this book can be obtained at the online bookstore of St. Vladimir Orthodox Theological Seminary. He says in his book, the aim of liturgical catechesis, that is, its main purpose, is to bring the individual into the life of the church. I emphasize, he says, it is not merely the communication of religious knowledge, not training a human being to become a good person, but the edification, that is, the building up of a member of the body of Christ, a member of that new chosen race, a holy nation, as we read in 1 Peter 2:9, whose mysterious life in this world began on the day of Pentecost. And to make him or her a reason-endowed sheep in the holy flock of thy Christ, an honorable member of thy church, says the baptismal prayer. Religious education, then, is nothing else but the disclosing of that which happened to man when he was born again through water and spirit and was made a member of the church. What a powerful statement. Religious education is nothing else but disclosing of that which happened to man when he was born again through water and the Spirit and was made a member of the church. That's awesome. We think about Christianity as one of the great world religions. I don't think of it that way. but we hear it referred to, especially in our day and time, as, you know, one of many religions. This is one of the great world religions. But Father Alexander goes to war with that. He says, Christianity is neither a philosophy, nor a morality, nor a ritual, but the gift of a new life in Christ. And this new life is the church. In it, we who now have received mercy constitute a new nation under God, which offers to God spiritual thanks and offering, carries on his work in the world, and is a witness of salvation and grows in the knowledge of truth and grace. Hence the unique place and function of liturgy in its life. Liturgical services are not one of the aspects of the church. They express the very essence and are its breath, its heartbeat, its constant self-revelation. Through the sacraments, and especially through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, the church, as one theologian worded it, always becomes that which it is, the body of Christ, a new unity of men in him. Liturgy implies, above all, the gathering of the faithful. And yet the word church itself means precisely gathering, where two or three are gathered. And in this gathering, and through it, we, through many, are one body, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I can think about some other things that Father Alexander has said that really affected me in terms of looking at, you know, what is Christianity and what is the church. He says, back on this idea of, you know, Christianity is one of the great world religions, he said, religion is man's attempt to find God, to come into union with Him in some way. But Christianity is the end of religion, he says. The end of religion. Because in the incarnation, God came to man. Man didn't come to God. God came to man. It's over. No more religion. No more futile man-made attempts at trying to find God, to know God. Because God is the Lord and has revealed Himself to us through His incarnate Son. So Christianity is the faith. Christianity is the true faith. And when we look at the church, we look at that place where we become what we are, children of God. You think about it in terms of DNA for a second. Let's compare the scientific concept of DNA with baptism and church growth. The scientists will tell us that everything that we need to mature into a full human being, a full mature human being, is planted in a cell of human DNA. So it's all there. It hasn't matured. It hasn't blossomed. We don't necessarily, you know, recognize it. But all things being equal, that cell is going to divide and multiply and will be born and will grow and come to the full stature of a full human being. I think what Father Alexander is saying here is that if we understand the service of baptism properly, that it's like the same thing. We're given everything that we need for the Christian life when we're baptized. And given time and all things being equal, we will grow and mature to the full stature of Christ. But a part of that is learning and understanding and experiencing what it is that was given to us in baptism and believing that it's all there and that we just need to water it, nourish it, grow in it, cling to it, be thankful for it, and in time, mature to the full stature of Christ. We might ask the question, what does it mean? We sing this hymn in the church, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." And this comes out of the Psalms. Father Alexander uses this to reveal the approach to Christian education. Taste and see. So what does this mean? What then should Christian education be, Father Alexander says, if not the introduction into this life of the church, an unfolding of its meaning, its contents, and its purpose? And how can it introduce anyone into this life if not by participation in the liturgical services on the one hand, and their explanation on the other hand? O taste and see how good is the Lord. First taste, then see. That is, understand. The method of liturgical catechesis is truly the orthodox method of religious education because it proceeds from the church and because the church is its goal. Proceeds from the church and the church is its goal. Taste, that is, experience and participate in the life of the Lord, in the liturgical life of the church. And then understand, to see it. I know I grew up in a time where, and I think most people are this way, they got to understand it before they're going to do it. Well, I don't understand why you're doing this or why you're doing that. And until I understand why I'm doing something, I'm not doing it. And it's said with a sense of fervor and integrity. How can I do something that I don't understand I'm doing? Well, there's a lot of things in life that we don't understand. I mean, do we really understand how a car runs? I'm not turning on that key until I understand how this engine and this automobile works and how this key relates to the firing mechanism that starts this engine. And unless I can take it apart and put it back together, I'm not driving it. What about a TV? What about a computer? Do we understand all of these things? We use it. And it's actually, if you think about it, isn't it in using these things that we get more familiar in our understanding with what they are? I'd like to read to you another psalm. And it's very interesting to me. It's Psalm 72 in the Septuagint. The number would be 73 in the Masoretic Hebrew text. And King David is kind of moaning over the fact that bad people get good things and good people get bad things. I think all of us have been there at one point or another. He says, beginning in verse 14 and down through 18, "All the day long I was scourged, and my reproof persisted through the night. If I should speak, I would describe it thus: Behold, I am breaking covenant with the generation of your children. And I sought to understand this, and it was difficult in my sight until I came into God's holy place, and I understood their end." And in some of the translations it says, "until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Surely, for their deceits you appointed deceits for them, and you cast them down in their exaltation." And so something happened to King David when he came into the tabernacle. What he couldn't understand with his human reasoning, God showed him through some enlightenment, some intuition, some perception. He tasted the goodness of the Lord, then he understood. This is what liturgical catechesis is all about. This is the traditional approach to religious education. Come into the church and taste and see. Finally, Father Alexander looks at four things that need to happen in the church before a rebirth of liturgical catechesis for our children can take place, and for us adults too, for that matter. And he gets pretty harsh here. Any of you who are familiar with Father Alexander knows that he was not one, either in public or in his writings, to pull punches. So I'm going to read this whole thing. And as he's going on about his church experience, I want you to think about your own church experience and the things that we know need to change in order for this to be accomplished. He says, "First of all, we must recognize that we cannot artificially separate the problem of religious upbringing of our children from that of a renewal of the entire Orthodox Church community. We cannot teach what we do not practice ourselves. Our churches will have the schools which they deserve, and it's obvious that the rebirth of liturgical catechesis requires, first of all, a rebirth of the liturgical life of the church, a better understanding by the faithful, a more responsible attitude toward it, a more active participation in it. And as long as we have private liturgies during Holy Week, as long as our churches remain virtually empty on the day of a most beautiful spiritually and theologically service of Holy Saturday, as long as priests on that day are busy blessing Easter food in private homes, as long as baptism remains a private family celebration and weddings a social ceremony at which the photographer is more prominent than the priest, and as long as the communion of the body and blood of Christ remains a duty to be fulfilled once a year, and as long as all this remains true, it's difficult to teach our children to see in the liturgical services the very essence of the church, of its teachings, and of its life. We need a liturgical catechesis for adults and in the clergy itself. We need a rebirth of the very concept of church, the spiritualization of the parish, the renovation of our prayer life. And all this is the basic condition for a true Christian education of our children. And unless we face this, all our discussions of methods and principles of church school will be useless. I don't know about you, but I'm convicted by Father Alexander's words. And I look at my own situation, and perhaps you look at your own situation. How often do we want to teach our kids something that we're not living ourselves? We're not showing this in our own lives. I can remember struggling as a parent in raising my children. And Father Jack Sparks said to me once, "Father John, be the person that you want them to be." That's all he said. That's all he had to say. I knew I had a big job, a big task in front of me. So let's recommit ourselves to God. Let's recommit ourselves to the liturgical life of the church, to the feast days, to the holy seasons of the year. And in doing so, our children will see that our whole life is revolving around Christ and His church. And they'll join us because it's who they are and what they will become.
And that was Father John Finley with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.